Welcome to the Abilu Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
And you will be blessed. This church, the Wiki Church, is not about Wiccan or other kinds of like witchcraft. It is actually about a discipleship movement in the Philippines by this individual who is an American who went over on a mission trip and never was able to come back. His church started from a few kids that got saved in a youth rally in the Philippines and is now a church movement of 50,000. So these guys, and they all do it through discipleship. They don't grow through big events and all kinds of stuff like that. They genuinely grow through empowering brand new believers to start doing discipleship. And I want to encourage you to grab this book. If you want to get a clear picture of where our church is going, it's something real similar to this. Wiki Church. It's like Wikipedia is what they're referencing. How when they, whatever. I won't start teaching the whole book. But, good book. Steve Murrell. Murrell. M-U-R-R-E-L-L. Double R's, double L's, two extra vowels, U's and E's. Okay. Depends on how you read. This is why I don't spell well, because mom, my brain goes in different directions. So we're going to open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I figured out you don't have to spell well to talk good. How are we doing? Are we doing okay? Come on. You guys excited? God is doing really, really cool stuff. Really, really cool stuff. Everywhere I turn, it seems like the Lord has given somebody a vision. God is speaking to somebody. Somebody's having a dream. This morning in our prayer time, God was beginning to just pour out vision and breakthrough and revelation to the people that were there. It was awesome. It was awesome. And I felt this for some time, but I felt that God wanted me to release this to our prayer time, the people there, that God was beginning to release and desiring to release dreams and visions to our church. And I want to encourage you to be seeking God for your spiritual gifts, to be seeking God for what He wants to do through your life. And before you go to bed at night, ask God for a spiritual dream. Okay? And then pay attention to what He does that night. If you wake up, get a notepad by your bed, write down the dream, and then pay attention to all the details. And if you need help, you find somebody that has some ability to help you interpret those dreams. There's great books out there. I know that Keith Hoopman and Nancy Winifred and Heather Rammert are working on launching a Gifts of the Spirit development and training to help those of us in our congregation grow in their gifts. And that's going to launch on the 18th, right, Keith? Where are you? Nancy, yeah, right, on the 18th. And we'll be getting word out, and you guys will hear more about that. But those individuals can help you grow in your spiritual gifts and help you interpret dreams. And we're going to have a good team around here to help you do that. But first, you need to seek Him so you have some dreams, right? Have some vision. Get some vision for your life, right? Now, our church, most of you, maybe you're brand new and you haven't been here, but most of you know that we experienced a pretty traumatic event some time a while back. March 2nd, right? March 2nd? I said it right? Yes. Starting to remember that day. Maybe the trauma is like moving past and I'm starting to get over it. But March 2nd, we had a giant collapse in our auditorium, and it displaced us. It's why we're here tonight at ACC, because of that. And there's been a lot of struggle, a lot of confusion, a lot of hardship around that. And the title of my message tonight is based out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, and it's Take a New Grip. The title of my message is Take a New Grip. And I really believe this is more than just a message for you and I. This is a prophetic word for our church. This is the Lord saying to us as a body, take a new grip. It's time to grab on to your bootstraps, pull those suckers up, take your belt, pull it up, get yourself ready, roll up your sleeves, gear yourself up for a new move in the Spirit of God in this church. Amen. So let's read it here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame
will not fall, but become strong. It's a very redemptive passage, very directional passage. And we're going to back up and we're going to grab in the context of this chapter and even the chapter before. Before we do that, we're going to pray. Sound good? Man, I'm excited tonight. If you can't tell, I'm all fired up. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for, God, your all-consuming love. Your all-consuming fire that comes from your heart of love for us. God, you can take dry bones and make them come alive. Lord, you can take weak knees and make them become strong. You can take a tired grip and refasten it, and you can make it strong again. You can take a weak people, a lame people, a sick people, and make them well. You can take a people that is broken up, not together in unity. I don't even know the word. But you can take us and bring us to unity again, God, and you can cause a people that are dysfunctional and going in multiple directions, God, and cause us to be an unstoppable force of unity and love. And God, you say that whatever we ask, we can have. And I'm asking you for strength. I'm asking you for direction, for unity, God, for strong legs and arms and backs, and a strong grip, God, and a straight path that you would direct, God, so we can just move forward into new life and new growth and effectiveness in your kingdom. God, I'm believing you for a raising up of leaders and harvesters, disciplers out of this church. God, that every member will be an effective church builder, church planter in Jesus' name. And God, I'm believing for a great move of your spirit and thousands of people to come into your kingdom because of our lives. I pray the ripple effect of your spirit will just be pushed out unto our city. God, we're just believing for new growth and new life and everything that you have planned and destined for us as individuals and collectively as a church. We're believing and asking, God, that you will do those things. You will have your way. You will lead and guide and direct, and we will follow. God, you will be the orchestrator, God, and we will be your orchestra, God, and you will be the designer, and we'll be your tapestry, God, and you will weave into us and transform us and make us a beautiful people effective for you. Lord, we just love you. Lord, that there are so many words that we just don't have to express how great you are, but God, we just take our simple words in our lives and we give them to you and say, you are good. You are God. You are King. You are Creator. You are the master of our worlds and our lives and our hearts. And God, we just ask that you would just renew our strength today. Cause us to believe, stir up our faith, strip away the old, and give us the new, God. We desire you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shoot, man, I could pray for like an hour straight, I think. Come on. Come on, stir up your faith. Stir it up. Just shake around a little bit. Come on, everybody in the place. Shake around a little bit. Come on now, shake around. Your pastor's helping you. Shake around, get a little movement. Everybody, come on. I'm not going to stop till y'all start shaking. Come on. Stir up your faith. Come on, stir it up. Hey, listen, if you want to stir it up, you got to move. If you want to stir something up, you got to move your body. If you want to stir up your faith, you got to stir it up. You got to do it. You got to get in there and mess around with it. Get yourself moving a little bit. Look, it's funny how in church we sometimes get really stiff. But then when we get out of church, we get really loose and comfortable. Why? You know, I think there is one thing, and let's not be too hard on ourselves, is that how many times do you come into a place where you're around so many people you don't really know? It is kind of different. So the sociological dynamics of when we come into a place like this, there's lots of people. It's different than my sister was talking here in the prayer time. She's like, when I'm home alone, I just dance before the Lord and I go crazy. Well, yeah. When we're all alone, nobody's looking, right? All the things we do and nobody's looking, we feel safe. Until we know somebody's looking, right? Then we just clam up. We need to create an environment in our church where it's normal to move. It's normal to be loose. It's normal to not be stiff. It's normal to praise the Lord. It's normal to lift our voices and clap and shout and dance before Him and be a liberal people, a free people, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Freedom,
liberty, to do what you desire to do in your heart and life. Take a new grip. Take a new grip. Stir up your heart. Stir up your life. I love this passage. I'm going to read it one more time, and then I'm going to talk about some things that I think about when I read this passage. So take a new grip with your tired hands. Anybody ever feel like you got tired hands? Right? Strengthen your weak knees and mark out a straight path for your feet so those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Promise right there. When we take a new grip, when we stir up our faith, when we get ourselves centered on the Lord, and this comes right after the greatest chapter in faith in the Bible, or the book, chapter in the book of the Bible in chapter 11, Hebrews 11, talks about all the great witnesses, that all those that have stood before us and lived before us and did great acts of faith trusting in God. They did ridiculous things and God came through. They did the ridiculous and God did the miraculous. They were willing to do the ridiculous and God came in and came through and did the miraculous. And it was just like Pastor Scott was talking about, that like we just, you know, we do our part, our little simple part, and then God does His. We don't have to make up the difference. We don't have to do it. God makes up the difference. I didn't say it like he said it. I just said it the way I said it, right? That's pretty much what you were saying, right? All right. I couldn't remember exactly what you said, so I just made it up. It was close, though. That's what I got. So look. When we get down, we get discouraged. When we are pushing and pushing and pushing, and then our hope gets deferred, we don't see what we desire. A lot of y'all have been going to church for a long time. I've been going for over 20 years now in my life. And you know what? There's a lot of things that I haven't seen that I've wanted to see. And I've been actively pursuing those things. I've seen some of those things and glimpses of those things. But at some point, a lot of us, we give up because we get tired. Right? I think about moving all my stuff when I, one year, it was 2007, I think, and we started on this giant journey of moving all of our stuff lots of times. In 9 months, I moved my entire household 5 times. I have a lot of children. That means I have a lot of stuff. I don't know about you, but I've taken my kids' beds apart like 100 times, it feels like, and put them back together. They're all wobbly and loose and messed up because they're not made to be taken apart and put back together that many times. They're all dinged up. All my furniture's all banged up and stuff because I just tired of moving it. And I'm like, I don't care. Just bang it against walls and drag it out. Right? It's like, I've moved with giant armies of people and I've moved all my stuff pretty much by myself. I think I counted how many times I moved all of my household in the season I've been married, the last 17 years, and I'm pretty sure I've moved all my stuff about 15, 16 times. My entire household. Yeah. Especially the more babies you have. You just get more stuff. And it gets heavier. Oh, and the longer you're married to your wife, everything she wants is bigger and heavier. Right? Why? I haven't figured this out yet. Bigger beds, bigger dressers, heavier beds. So instead of particle board or like we used to have cardboard. Now we have real wood. We went from cardboard to wire. We had those wire crates. You flip them up. Plastic crates. Great shelves, right? Had lots of those. You know, and then you upgrade to like particle board and then dressers and then hardwood. You're like, for real? And then you get the super squishy king size mattress. The IntelliRest one, yeah, try and move in that formless marshmallow up 3 flights of stairs. You're like, oh, sweet Jesus, no. Your lower back, your upper back, your thighs, your glutes. Boo! Boo! I hate moving. I hate it. I'm done with that. Root me down somewhere. You know, and I look at all the heavy stuff, the heavier stuff my wife's bought. Nope, not doing it. Not moving it. Anyway, God bless. God bless our wives. They like heavy stuff. But you know, I've thought about a lot of the struggles and things I've been in. I used to work construction, and I, I've been in lots of scenarios where you're working real hard all day and you're getting close to finishing. And you know, you get close to the end of your day or the end of a move or whatever, and there's like this lull that happens. And you're looking at the end, you're like, oh, Lord have mercy. You run out of energy. You're tired. Your hands are tired. I used to tie prison fence. I wasn't in the prison. I was on the outside of the prison. And I mean, run a pair of channel locks, you know, like grippy. Right? You guys know what channel locks are now? And we'd take this real strong wire and I would just wrap it around. Just all day long. That was it. 12-hour days. Sometimes 14 hours. My forearms were like huge. Right? I could crush a normal man with my grip. A strong man, I could bring him to his knees. Normal man, crush. Yeah. Then I stopped tying fence and my arms got weak again. But the point is this. Is that I know you get to the end and your grip is tired. You're hauling the box. You're like, I don't want to do it anymore. But you got 12 more boxes. You got 10 more feet of fence to tie. You got just a couple more feet of the hole to dig. Right? You got just a little bit more you got to push through. And there's a point where someone with the fortitude, internal fortitude and character just stops for a second and they gear up and they grab that box and they tighten their grip like military men. They hunker down and they get ready for that next wave, right? You gotta strengthen your knees. You gotta find something deep within and get yourself to a place where you're ready to push forward to the end. You with me? Come on. You gotta strengthen your grip. This is a season in our church where we need to strengthen our grip together. We need to strengthen up our tired knees. I don't know about you, but Pastor Brad and I talk about this all the time. It's probably not you, but Pastor Brad and I talk about this all the time. You probably don't talk about the same things we talk about all the time. But we're like meeting with lawyers and insurance settlements and contractors and like design people and, you know, what are the other things? Architects and whatever, man. It's just every turn. It's all this stuff that we never do as pastors. Ever! And this is all we do now. On top of everything we used to do. We still have to do all that, right? It's just like, heap it on. Just keep going. And we're just like, wow, this is so different. And after time, you start to get tired. It happens to all of us. And we're like, Pastor Reed and I were out there, we're putting epoxy on the floor in the hallways. They're like Darth Vader respirators on. We're like, he's like, we just pretend like we know what each other's saying. No clue. I'm like, Right? Mariah comes in to give us coffees. We're like, we can't do anything with coffee. We got respirators on. Read on the epoxy thing. It says causes cancer and reproductive problems. We're like keeping the masks on, right? Important things. Read warning labels. Okay. We don't normally put epoxy on floors. It's not what we were hired to do. But when it's at this moment, this time, when it came to looking at the building, it's all trash and it was all dumpy and sitting around for 9 months and nobody's been in it. It's kind of like got cobwebs and it was yucky and we're kind of like, eh, this isn't our home. And you know, or it's like our home that was like weird and old. And so we had to just get in there and just like roll up our sleeves. We're in this moment right now where it's like, just wake up, strengthen up, like take your vitamin juice, you know, take a protein shake. Get a 5-hour energy, drink a rock star. Come on, let's do it. But more importantly, we got to find something deep inside of our souls, deep inside of our spirits. And the same thing that these men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 were able to find an intimate relationship with Jesus, with God. They found him. They found a deep place where they could dig in and they could say, I can do this. Look, Some of these people, it says, some were jeered at. Their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. And others were killed with the sword. And some went about wearing skins with sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes and in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised here on earth, right? For God had something better in mind for us so that they all would not reach perfection without us. Listen, each generation builds on the next. Each act of faith builds on the next. Every step, every action, every sacrifice, every person that suffers for Jesus builds on the next. We get to take from their experience and their faith and add to it. They never got to see all of what they were believing for. You and I are not going to get to see all of what we're believing for, but it's worth laying the foundation. It's worth strengthening our knees and our hands and our grip so we can push farther. We could take it to the next phase, the next space, the next level, the next building block in the kingdom. See the next wave and group of souls come into the kingdom and be discipled. It's worth it. It's worth it. Man, take a new grip. Therefore, since we are surrounded, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Man, what a good God. What a good God. You know, I think about, you know, this wrestling of our life of righteousness in Christ, our holiness in Christ, purchased by His mercy and sacrifice and delivered to us through the Holy Spirit and grace that is living inside of us alive. Like righteousness by the presence of God is literally alive in us by nothing we have done. Holiness is alive in us by nothing we have done. But still, there's this pursuit of righteousness. There's this pursuit of holiness. There's this pursuit to strip away all the sinful nature. Because look, it is chains that are binding you down, holding you back from your success in Christ. Not your salvation in Christ. Two very different things. Look, your belief and faith in Christ is what causes you to be saved because He chooses you and draws you and however that all works. And you respond to that and you're saved. That can't be stripped away from you. No one can take that from you. Nothing can separate you from that. Okay? But you can separate yourself from your success in Christ. Through weighting yourself down with sin. But God wants us to strip off all that stuff. Man, you've got to take a new grip. So you've got to strip all that extra dead weight off. Say, God, I don't need this stuff anymore. Lord, help deliver me from this. I want to be new. I want to change and operate new. I need different, not the same. The same old behaviors, beliefs and behaviors produce the same old results. If we want change in our life, we have to first renew our mind about what we believe God shaped us and made us for. Some great act of faith, I believe. Right? Discipline life in Christ as a response to His love and a desire to pursue Him, be like Him, be intimate with Him and to know Him deeper, to see what He might do. Like these men and women of faith, they're willing to suffer and sacrifice to see a great move of God. And that's what I want. And I want God to help me strip away all this junk so that I can live and be light and ready for that next push. So I can be free of this and like take up a grip so I can go. Yeah, your sin won't separate you from God. It won't. It can't. Because it's all been paid for on the cross. So it cannot separate you from Him. But it can cloud you from pursuing Him. It can cloud you from pursuing Him. You know when you feel really guilty and all shame-ridden and dirty? You don't feel like going to the King, even though you should. You should, but you go there and you don't feel the same. Are you with me? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? And this is on me, not on Jesus. But God knows we respond this way. He knows that our own sin, even though paid for by the cross, will cloud us. The fruit of that will plague us. The fruit of that sin will weigh us down and hold us back. So God's like, look, through the, well, whoever wrote this book, I think it was Paul. Others think otherwise. But whoever wrote this scripture, the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us, look, strip this stuff off. Strip this stuff off. We got something to do. There's something great to do. Let's stay focused on Jesus. See, one of the best ways to strip off all the junk in our life is to keep our eyes centered on Him. We do this, tells us the instructions right here. How do we strip this off? Verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. This is the same thing that Paul teaches us in Philippians, right? Philippians 1, where he says, He is faithful to complete that which He starts in us, right? He is the finisher of our faith. He's the finisher and the completer of what He starts. God doesn't start something and not finish it. So you have to know that God is positioned all the time to take you farther in Him. To take you deeper in Him. He is not resisting you. He's not stopping you from growing in Him. He is actually pushing you farther all the time. He is trying to get more out of you all the time. He's redemptive all the time. So when you make a bunch of mistakes, and then act of obedience and act of repentance and act of compassion or contrite heart towards Him, He just flips all that junk around and He uses it for good. Because He's a redeemer. He's crazy good like that. Right? There's nothing that you can do that can disqualify you. And this might push some of your buttons. But there's nothing you can do that can disqualify you from ministry. There's nothing. The worst egregious sin you can think of. None of it can disqualify you from being a minister of the Spirit of God. Now, maybe some of us wouldn't qualify you because we aren't as good as God. But there's nothing that you and I can do that can disqualify us, that can literally separate us from the Spirit of God. Because that is the only thing that would cause you to no longer be a minister. Is if God's Holy Spirit was removed from you. It's the only thing that could stop you from being a minister. Think about this. God takes baby Christians who don't know anything about nothing, and He gives them a giant, humongous, horse-powered, amazing Spirit, His Holy Spirit, that can do anything. It's like, here's a little baby, and here's the keys to my Hummer. Have some fun. Right? Give my little 10-year-old the keys to my car. Boo. I'm not that good. I'm not that brave. But God is. He's not scared. Because He knows He's in control. He knows the end from the beginning. He is the one who initiates and completes. He doesn't stop. Even though we might blow stuff up, wreck our cars, drive them in the ditch, make a bunch of mistakes. But that doesn't disqualify us from moving forward in the kingdom, from still doing good and making a contribution. He's saying, strip all that stuff off. Forget what was behind. Philippians says, like, I forget everything that's in the past, all the good and the bad, and I press on toward the high calling, toward the mark of Christ Jesus. He's the centerpiece. He's got to stay the centerpiece, church. That's how you strip all this stuff away. That's how you tighten your grip. That's how you re-strengthen your knees. That's how you mark out a straight path. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne, thinking of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. So if you haven't given up your life yet and you're able to read this or hear this, that means you're not dead. Right? You're not dead, so you can hear these words. That means you didn't give your life to fight through sin. So keep going. Don't give up. You're not done yet. Right? Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Man, there's a lot of stuff out there that we're all working through and struggling through. Don't give up. Strengthen yourself in Christ. Stir up your faith. It's worth it. You will find breakthrough. Keep pushing. Keep working until you die from trying so hard. You die. Don't stop. You with me? Till you're dead and your heart stops. I did everything I could do. You're done. You're in heaven like, hey, I did everything I could do. He's like, you're dead. Yeah, you did. Nice job. Right? You got to keep pushing. And have you forgotten? And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? God, he said, my children, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. Don't give up when he corrects you. And the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Look, these words, punish and discipline, they're all about training and correction and direction that have positive movement. A lot of us experience bad examples from our fathers about appropriate discipline. Most fathers, in many cases, discipline out of fear of what would happen to them or what would happen if you did whatever and then it would affect them. And so God doesn't parent out of fear. He's not scared of what he gave you. He's not scared of what he started in you. He wants to finish it. And so he's like, get in the car. You know, I did something really crazy and I never thought I would do this, but I bought a brand new car. Well, that wasn't that crazy. Bought a brand new car in Idaho. And then my kids, both my kids got their permits right before we left. Okay. And both of them got their permits. And so Maggie, she's 14, green, never driven a car, no instruction. I take my brand new car, and I felt like the Father God in this moment. And I put her in the seat, and I said, let's go. She's like, are you kidding me? It was awesome. She's freaking out. I'm like, let's do it. I did this with both my kids. And now I'm kind of like, hey, well, let's drive mom's old junkie car. But it was fun this one time just to see their faces. And then I believed in them. It was like, let's do it. And we like drive around a parking lot, and I go, let's get on the road. They're like, what? Maggie especially, because she's 14, you know. And she's like, okay. Oh, she's like, we're doing it. I'm like, you're doing it. It was awesome. It was awesome. It was a huge risk. I was like, that's why I have insurance. Insurance people are like, don't let that guy drive. Oh, it was awesome. It was great. There were great moments. And God is the same way that he's directing and challenging us to try new things and do new things and get out there and make a mistake. Yeah, they could have wrecked my car. And then we would have just figured it out. I hit a bear anyway on my way up the Alcan, so what the heck? Whose fingers am I pointing at, you know? I hit a bear. How did that happen? How many people in here have ever hit a bear? Driving a car. You have? Hey, we got a bond. We got a connection now. Look, don't make light of it. And don't give up. He's going to challenge you to move forward. And then he's going to maneuver you and put you in circumstances where you're going to have a potential to fail. Or you might fail. He wants to test you. But he doesn't want you to give up. Like our church, we've been through a really hard season, and I believe God brought us into this season to challenge us, to grow us, to change us, to maneuver us, to teach us, to guide us, right? There's all kinds of really good things that happen because of this, and we shouldn't make light of that. He didn't punish us so that we'd have an end and like, go to your room, I don't want to see you again, and you're never going to come out of there. Sometimes we say this to our kids, right? That's stupid. Don't say that anymore, okay? Can I tell you that's just stupid? Don't do that. That's not the Father. The father goes, yeah, look, you blew it. You made some mistakes. What did we learn? Where are we going? Take up a new grip. Let's go. I was talking to my boy Caleb over here. He's like, Dad, sorry, I'm going to expose him. Like, wish I wasn't the pastor's kid right now. But I always pick on Maggie. Now it's your turn. And so Caleb goes, man, I wasted all this time playing my music. And he plays the cello and he makes music. It's pretty awesome. And he goes, he's like, I've got all this homework to do. And he's all down on himself, right? I'm like, hey, I can't even count how many times I did that when I was your age. So what? So what? What do you do when you made a bunch of mistakes? You wasted time. What do you do? He's like, make a list? I'm like, make a list! Yes! This is what I teach him. I'm like, get it on paper! What do we gotta do to win from here? Right? So what? Yeah, you reap what you sow. You make a bunch of mistakes, you're gonna eat it. You're gonna have all that. Now you've got this much time to do this much work. What are you gonna do? Make a list. Okay, let's prioritize it. Let's get that going. So what? Forget about all that stuff, man. Dude, you're awesome. You rock. Let's get it done. That's what we got an espresso machine in our house for. Gear that sucker up, man. He's all like making a coffee. I'm like, go, 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 go. Fourth quarter. Dig in, right? He's like going downstairs. I'm all like, woo! Yeah! He's all like, okay, here I go. You know? You can imagine being my kid. I just get you fired up and you like turn you and you're just like, boo! Here we go. But that's the Father's heart for us. I'm like taking my kid. He's like, woe is me. I made all these mistakes. Yeah, you, me, your brother, your teacher, everybody you know has made that same mistake. So yeah, let's get over that thing. Take up a new grip. Come on, get focused. Let's stir up our spirits. There's something important for us to do for the Lord. There's something important for us to do for the Lord. Yes, strip off the sin. Let's turn away from it. We don't just revel in and go, well, God forgave me so I can just stay here in this muck hole of sin. No! Don't stay there. That's a waste of your life. That's a waste of your life. Jesus died for all that, so you don't have to be in prison to it anymore. So you can live a victorious, liberated, freed life and rejoice in Him. And move and push forward into something great. Church, when we look in the book of John, chapter 15, we see Jesus say, I am the grapevine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. Do you hear that? He prunes us, challenges us, disciplines us, in the vine, so that the areas of our life that need to be stripped off aren't absorbing and sucking out our energy and life, so we can focus our growth to produce new life. It's life in the kingdom. That's life in His Spirit. That's life in intimacy with God. He just says, remain in the vine. Just turn away from all that stuff. Just look at me. Look at me. You know all those great movies where somebody's helping somebody else walk over a bridge? It's really, really high. It's like in like 1,000 movies probably. They're like looking at him like, just don't look down. Just look right here. Right here. Take one step. Just stay. Look at me. Look at me. Right here. Stay focused. What are they? That's what I always imagine. Like, they fall off. No. But with Jesus, He doesn't ever fall off the bridge. He's like, stay focused. Right here. Come on. Come on. Look here. Peter jumping off the boat, looking at Jesus. He's walking on the water. He's like, this is so awesome. Oh my gosh. Jesus. Ah! And then he goes, waves. Ah! Jesus. And he looks back up at him. Jesus grabs him like, oh, I'm not looking away again, man. I'm looking right at you. Me, you, you, me, right here. Right? Here we go. Jesus and me. Here we go. I got you, baby. Right? That's how we gotta be. Look, the farther away from Him we are, the more distractions there are. The more we hone in, the closer I get, the less everybody, I can't see anybody but Reed.
Reed's breath smells good.
The closer I get to Him, the less I see all that stuff. And it's just Reed. It's like, you're in the restaurant with your wife. You're like, baby, it's just you and me. You know there's other people around. The closer you get, you're like, it's just you and me. You gotta stay focused. Will you stand up? You gotta stay focused. Connect to the vine. Connect to the vine. God is moving our church into a time of intimacy with Him. A time of intimate fellowship with God. Where He begins to pour out His life and resources to us as His people. Gifts are coming. Gifts are coming. You gotta have faith. Gifts are coming. There's movement is coming. New life is coming. And yeah, He took us through really hard stuff. And He wanted to chisel off a bunch of old junk. Because He wants to produce new life. Not because He's like disappointed and mad at us because we didn't like mop the floors enough or like vacuum enough. Listen, it's because He wants us to move forward. Even in our mistakes. Even with our past. Even with your past. But listen, healthy churches are made up of healthy people. Are you with me? Look, a healthy church is made up of you. And you and you and you and you and you. Being healthy. Doing this. Stripping off the past. Getting with Jesus. Intimacy with Jesus. When you're making a bunch of mistakes, just go like, Pastor said, just do this. Just do this. Just do it. Just focus on Him. Just keep your eyes on Him. Don't look at the waves. Man, you need to be healthy. We need you to be healthy. Are you with me? But you have to take responsibility of you because I can't do that for you. Lord, where do I need to grow? What do I need to strip off in my life? Jesus, I need to be focused on you. Where am I just too broad? I'm diffused. And God, take me into you. I want to see you, just you. Even with all the chaos going around, God, let me please you and serve you and see you. Right? Let's pray and then we'll close. Lord Jesus, it's all about you. There's none like you. It's all about you. Lord, and we're just going to do right now what the scripture says, that God, we're going to strip away the past. We're going to strip away the sin because there's such a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before and proven that it's possible to do the ridiculous and see the miraculous. To even as sinners, God, even as those that are broken and have had failures, God, but in you, Jesus, we can see great things in our faith in you and our commitment to you and our fortitude to press forward and keep our eyes on you. So Jesus, today we step out of the boat like Peter and we keep our eyes on you, not on the waves. God, bring us in close to you that we can see you and feel you and know you. Bring revelation to me. Come on, just begin to pray. God, bring revelation to my heart. Bring revelation to my mind. Pour out your gifts in my life. Make it personal. Strip away the sin in my life. God, draw me into intimacy with you. And strengthen my grip. God, I take a new grip today. I get a new strength within and by faith. Come on, ask God for that. God, strengthen me from within. Do it. Your lips, come on, your lips. You saying it. God, strengthen me within by your Spirit. Do it. Strengthen my knees, God. Give me an internal fortitude to serve you, to press on what you made me for. God, I believe great things. I'm believing you for a great move of your Spirit. I'm believing for souls to come.